TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Rick Mon is locked and loaded on today's news talk radio, TNT.
Okay, we're back again. Just having a glance at the chat. You guys are very busy and active in there this morning. You're talking about contaminated meat. Zippy's on there talking about that. And also Nick Bumble says, with regards to UK politics, Reform UK look to be gaining traction. Our Zippy's not so keen on Richard Tice, neither am I, to be honest with you. And the current UK political system makes it extremely difficult for new parties to emerge. Indeed it does. And I think that's, of course, part of the design. They don't want to be usurped and they don't want to be replaced by anyone. A lot of people messaging on there. So please keep the chat coming. Keep the chat coming and stay tuned. Of course, we appreciate your input and we appreciate you listening into the show. And hopefully you're telling your friends and family about it, your loved ones about it, even your enemies about it. So you got to check out this radio station, TNT Radio. It's where it's all going down. So later on this hour, I have Senator Malcolm Roberts from the One Nation Party in Australia. He operates out of Queensland. And before we get there, and also I need to have a chat with Jeremy back as well. Still a lot to come in the next 55 minutes. Let's look at what else is happening on the world stage. I'm trying to get as much in here as I can today. Italians who refuse job offers will lose their social benefits. The country's hard right government have announced, arguing that the country's welfare system is too often abused. Old Giorgia Meloni is flexing those Italian biceps of hers, and she's getting hard with people that are refusing work. And I can kind of see where she's coming from. One of the reasons we're in this mess that we're in at the minute is a lot of people are actually very well off on benefits, and they can come up with all sorts of excuses not to return to work. And you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. If you don't work, how are you going to eat? If you're not working and you're taking benefits and you have the capacity, the ability to work, okay, not if you have lost your job and you're searching and you're having no luck or whatever it happens to be, you're sick or you can't work for one reason, mental health, physical health, whatever. I'm talking about those who can work, those who have the capacity to work but are simply point blank refusing to work, then, you know, it's other people that are paying your way from their efforts, which is not on. So I see where George is coming from here, but I don't know how that story will pan out ultimately, but I'm sure time will tell. Meloni to revoke benefits from Italians who refuse a job offer. Well, let's see how it works. Tim Hinchliffe writes that embrace the fourth industrial revolution. Winners will take all, Klaus Schwab says to APEC business leaders. So here we go. This globalist Schwab, of course, flexing again, telling people that they need to embrace what he says is the fourth industrial revolution. If they don't, they're going to be left behind, as winner will take all. I don't have a lot of time for Klaus Schwab, as you can imagine. In California, author Aaron Kearty, MD, has been informed that his book has been banned by all Californian public libraries. The book is called The New Abnormal, The Rise of the Biomedical Security State. So Gavin Newsom and co. over in California have decided that that material is not suitable for young eyes, impressionable eyes, or old impressionable eyes. So they've decided to ban it from public libraries. If it was a sex book, it was a book full of filth and perversion and indoctrination and grooming of children, oh, there was no problem. The libraries are full of books like that. Schools are full of books like that. But if you want to talk about the rise of the biomedical security state, it's not happening in California, or Californication, as the Red Hot Chili Peppers once referred to it as. It's not going to happen at all. Ice Cube, the old gangster rapper from back in the day. I think he was part of the NWA outfit. I might be wrong on that. Rap is not my strong point. As you know, I'm a rocker. Ice Cube has turned down a $9 million payday as he didn't want a mandatory COVID jab. Well, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying it's not a great move. Fair play to him. Maybe he didn't need the $9 million, or maybe he just made a stand on principle. But either way, it's getting a message out there that your health is your wealth. Your health is your wealth. It's not about getting money in the bank. You're effectively playing Russian roulette. And if you play Russian roulette for long enough, it's only a matter of time before you clock that bullet that's in the chamber. So Ice Cube turns down a $9 million payday because he does not want to take the COVID shot. So these are some of the things that I'm seeing today. Just letting you know that we are currently streaming live on all the major streaming platforms. You can catch us on YouTube, on Odyssey. We're on all social media platforms also, on Truth Social, on Getter, on Gab, on Instagram, on Twitter, of course, TNT Radio. Follow us, please, if you don't already do so. You can follow me too, if you like. My handle is at @noreward_norisk. That's how it appears on Twitter. Or if you just search No Risk, No Reward, you'll probably find me on there. It's all happening. It's all happening on social media. So follow us and spread the good news about TNT Radio.
There's a lot going on, so it's important to stay informed and up to date.
Get ready, because here we go.
At the top, 30 minutes past and when it breaks.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, the U.S. government has issued new rules for companies involved in the Russian oil trade, shipping and insurance, insisting they will face penalties unless they comply with an upcoming Western price ceiling intended to slash Russia's energy revenues. And here to discuss this particular story with me this morning is Jeremy Beck. How are you today, Jeremy?
Yeah, doing pretty good. You sound better too, Rick. I think you must be on the mend.
I'm on the mend, my friend. The old immune system's working and the Cavonia cough mixture is doing me the wonders. And it's also sunny out here today for the first time in a long time. So the planets are aligning, Jeremy, as it were, and it's all good. So thank you for asking.
Yes, well, this story here, the US Treasury Department published new policy guidelines on Tuesday for service providers involved in the Russian oil trade. American service providers will be permitted to continue dealing in Russian oil only if it is purchased at or below the price cap. But the exact level of the cap is yet to be decided. The cap is expected to take effect on the 5th of December. The new guidelines apply to companies across a number of related industries, including shipping, commodities trading, finance, insurance, flagging, and customs brokering. Those found violating the price ceiling scheme could face penalties from the Office of Foreign Assets Control, which is a financial intelligence and enforcement agency of the US Treasury Department, and they enforce sanctions. Service providers will not be penalized if the oil is shipped prior to the deadline and reaches its destination by the 19th of January. So perhaps there may be a rush on such trade over the next few days, but that doesn't give them very long. It's expected to take place very soon. American providers will also be banned outright from importing Russian oil into the United States. And a so-called price cap coalition includes the United States, G7 nations, the European Union, and my country, Australia. And this coalition is expected to issue similar rules in the coming days, joining the United States and also the United Kingdom, which has already just published its own rules on Monday. So what effect will it have on Russia? I don't think very much, because there are many other ways Russia can get around this, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this. I mean, you don't really need to tell me it. I think we both know the way this is going to pan out. But up until this point, the first thing that NATO employed against Russia after they went into Ukraine in February was to go bypass diplomacy and go straight to economic sanctions. That was the very first thing that they did, which in and of itself would have been deemed a hostile act against Russia by NATO, which is what they did. And in the short term, at least, it's seemed to hurt the Russian economy because the ruble started to fall and there was much celebration and much rejoicing and backpatting amongst the Biden regime and various other people until, of course, about a month later, Putin played the master stroke of saying, well, you know what, from now on, from April the 1st, I think it was, you pay me in rubles. The ruble has been on a tear ever since. I would say the Russian economy is in a pretty solid standing at the moment. Unlike the US and the UK and I would say the Australian economy, these sanctions may have a short term, or these instructions or orders may have a short term positive effect, but I don't think they're really looking at the long game here in this one again, Jeremy.
It certainly is the case, because if you have a look at all the rapidly growing economies, they are the ones which are not really keen on, you know, sanctioning Russia. And particularly the biggest one is China. And also India, they're not interested in this as well. And they are the two biggest countries by population. And they are also rapidly growing their physical economies. And by physical, I mean real productive things which require oil. Their populations are expected to grow, particularly India. China's ditched the one-child policy. India's population will grow. They're a much younger demographic. And India, I see, potentially could grow enormously, just given the younger demographic. And their population is expected to increase and surpass China's population. And it's nearly on the way there. So Russia will trade with them. And the European economies, they're shrinking. They're dying. They've gone with this green policy. Their populations are shrinking. United States, similarly. Unfortunately, my own country, Australia, is gone down the same path. So Russia will get around there, but they're still not happy about it. And in fact, Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak, he warned last month that the price should be formed by the market based on supply and demand. And he said this price cap is a bad precedent, and it could at any moment be extended to other suppliers, to all global trade. So he was really condemning the whole idea, but they'll get around it. And of course, they can trade in rubles, they can trade with friendly countries. It's really a mad idea that the West thinks that they can keep winning this, but they're desperate and they'll just throw everything at Ukraine. And who knows where it's going to go? It's going to be a long war, Rick.
Isn't it? I mean, any thoughts or hopes that this would be over in a few months are obviously a long distant memory. We're, 9 months in at the moment with absolutely no end in sight. And even the rhetoric from NATO country heads are like, we will stand until the end. We will not quit. This must be a win for Ukraine. It's never going to be a win. Never going to be a win for Ukraine. The longer this draws out for, the longer they can prolong this for, the longer it fits in with their agenda. Which will result in more quantitative easing, more money printing, more money being flung into that black abyss of finance, which is known as the Ukraine, money that could be better spent in our own countries, that's being pledged in aid to Zelensky and co. You mentioned also that the price cap is yet to be decided, but it will take effect on the 5th of December. That's roughly 1 to 2 weeks away. They still have a little bit of wriggle room to finalise this, but you also pointed rightly that India and China are refusing to abide by this scheme. And then, of course, there's the other question as well. If they do implement it and it does hit Russia, in the pocket, which no one likes being kicked in the pocket. What would Russia do as a potential retaliation to that? Will they restrict energy further that will be put out to European countries? Will they restrict food? Will they restrict grain? I mean, they have a lot of options on the table themselves to retaliate to this. So again, you know, they're poking the old bear, and don't be surprised to lose a limb possibly as a result of doing that.
I see that as a possibility, but also the Western leaders who are behind this agenda, they don't really care about their own people, and that's the problem. So, you know, if Russia does retaliate in that way, it's not going to affect the billionaire leaders in the West. So it will hurt the poor person in the street who's struggling just to heat their home or put food on the table. And that's the real problem. So I think Russia's aware of that. So they won't fight back in that way unless there is a strategic military advantage. I don't think Russia intends to do that. But possibly there might be an advantage if enough people in Europe is angry and say, hang on, stop this, it's insane, you know, we can't bear this, you know, we're starving, stop the war, maybe that might be a motivation there.
It might be. And it's a long, drawn-out saga, and no doubt it will continue to be long and drawn out for a long time to come. And this may not happen, but yeah, knowing NATO, knowing the way they are, and with the destructiveness, the destruction that they want to heap upon their own people, I have no doubt that they will try and push ahead with this one, Jeremy. So thank you for bringing it to our attention here this morning. That's Jeremy Back. I'm Rick Munn, and we'll be back after these ads with Senator Malcolm Roberts. So please don't go away.
You should hear what Jason Allborn is talking about.
Arizona, watch the water. We were told, weren't we? Carrie Lake, if she doesn't become governor, she may well become vice president in 2024. Yep, you heard it here first. She's almost a certainty now to pair with Trump. She is something else, and everyone who sees how she works knows that she is a politician in waiting, a politician you will not want to mess with. And you can just imagine how she's going to debate against Kamala Harris and put an end to Kamala's career, almost as if Tulsi Gabbard is in the room with her, like she did in the primaries, of course, and made Kamala Harris give up the run to be president. Now, in Arizona, there are now four counties that have refused to certify the election. And this has caused a whole lot of friction. And a volunteer attorney for the Lake campaign has contacted one of the attorneys in charge, who has then got short, threatened, swore, and accused the inquirer of threatening him. So where there is smoke, there is fire. And Carrie Lake is just one of the warriors fighting for all of this.
Jason Allborn and Jason Q. Citizen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When the forgotten poor are suffering and in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. Heroes of mercy, like these.
Every human being has the right to be treated as human, to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the look in the patient's eyes or the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
We bring hope and healing to one person, but that person belongs to a family, and that family belongs to a community.
Together, these heroes of mercy and friends like you bring hope and healing to those who desperately need it.
Thank you!
Thank you!
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org today.
The truth is out there. All the other stations suck.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, 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 look who it is. If it isn't the I thought, gone but not forgotten, Senator Malcolm Roberts. Where have you been? Where have you been?
I've been hiding from you. You've got a cold. I might get infectious.
Hells bells, man. You have been hiding. You remind me of the place that I live in. Back in the day, the rent man used to come around the doors every Friday night, knocking on the doors, looking for the rent. And everyone would disappear behind the sofa until he went away again. That's the feeling I get. I've been like the rent man to you over the last few months. You know, you've been duking me. What did I do to offend you? Why have you been avoiding
me? Nothing at all. I've been, where was I? I was in the bush for a week last week, and the week before... I was on Senate estimates, which is flat out from 9 till 11, and you have to get in there really, you know, early before 9, well before 9. And then the week before that, I think you had annual leave or took leave or something.
Yeah, you know, but that listen, you can't pull that on me. That only counts for 3 weeks. I haven't had you on for about 8. Do you want to keep going back? You know, I'm only winding you up, by the way.
I know that, Rick. You're my favourite Irishman. the rent collectors would be changed these days. They'd be energy price collectors, wouldn't they?
Oh, don't even talk to me about that. You know, by the way, in case you're listening for the first time, you don't know who this is, Senator Malcolm Roberts from the One Nation Party, working out of Queensland. In Australia, you can connect with him on Twitter if you are a Twitter user at MRobertsQLD, that's his Twitter handle, and also he has a website, malcolmrobertsqld.com.au. It is actually a good website to go to. He puts transcripts of his speeches and various policies that he would push, etc. Everything's on there on his website, so please check him out. And by the way, I know you've had a long day, and I know it's quite late there, but you're still looking dapper in your shirt and tie. I must admit, you put me to shame. I look like a hobo. You look like a proper serious individual. So, yeah, thank you for taking the time. Now you're doing a Barack Obama on me. Are you going to take the tie off and open your shirt and roll your sleeves halfway up your forearms? It's all psychological. No one can see this, by the way, so it's for my benefit only. Please, you don't have to strip for me. Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, just loosen the tie. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. But anyway, listen, there's a lot going on. I want to try and squeeze as much as I can in with you at the minute. You've got elections coming up in Victoria. You've got various things that are literally from you've been last on. So much is being exposed to the world. Stuff you've been talking about, stuff we've been talking about, stuff we've thrashed out in the show with regards to vaccines and the damage that can be caused. There's a new movie that's came out. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's an eye-opener. It's called Safe and Effective, I think it's called. It's a new... It's a shocker. Let me just get the details up here. I'll look it up here for you, but you need to see it. It's out on Rumble at the moment. It's a 1-hour documentary. I think it's called Safe and Effective. Check it out.
There's another one, mate. It's called Died Suddenly. It's also on Rumble.
My apologies. It's the Died Suddenly one, the Safe and Effective one. A second opinion came out about a month ago. I was fortunate enough to have the guy behind that on here on the show, Mark Sharman from Oracle Films. But Died Suddenly. Yes, that's the one I was talking about. Have you had a look at that yet, or have you had a chance to cast your eye over it or see the trailer even?
Yeah, Rick, I get hardly any time to watch videos, so I've just started it. Because I had a few minutes before the show, so I clicked on it. And, I haven't seen much, just the Undertaker's talking about blood clots. And a pretty savvy guy. One of the Undertakers started recording people's injection status and the extent of their blood clotting, etc. So I haven't seen the conclusions yet.
Well, you'll get watching it in your own time, but they have a good collection of undertakers and physicians on there, different people all saying the same story. They're all pulling this horrific fibrous white, almost like looked like some kind of alien parasites from people's veins. Yeah. They said they've never seen anything like it before. I think as much as you know, and as much as we think we know right now, I think the full extent of the horror of the side effects and the damage that are being done by these injections, we haven't even scraped the tip of the iceberg with it yet. And to be quite frank, it's disturbing when I think of the people that I know that have succumbed to these jabs.
I agree with you. You know, the expert doctors, I'm not a medical expert, but the expert doctors are saying exactly what you just said. We have not seen anything like what the full extent is. You know, in Senate estimates, I ask, that's where we have hearings, where the minister, health minister, for example, in this case, and health chief health bureaucrats front the Senate, and we asked them questions. And I asked them questions about births. I'll give you these figures. For the first 6 months, our Australian Bureau of Statistics should be called the late Bureau of Statistics, because the birth data comes out about 12 months after the year ends. Now, I understand that they've got to check everything, but the states put it out just weeks after, you know, and you can certainly put out provisional figures. But anyway, so the last figures we've got are for December 2021, right? Now, the injections were introduced around about February, March 2021. Now, remember that before that, we had severe lockdowns. So in 2021, the last year figures, the first 6 months, all the months were above average. Only just a little bit, but they were still above average. Now, that's fairly significant. In the second half, from July to December, all the months were below average. And the average, you know, bounces around 24,000. Some months it's up to 25, some months it's down to 23. But let's just say 24, you'd be fairly accurate in saying that. In November, they were down to 18. That's a quarter less than normal. In December, wait for this one, starting to get a bit tears, 6,600. That's about one quarter of normal. So when I asked this question, I gave them the graph. The chief medical officer, from memory, he said, "Oh, mate, you can see there's nothing wrong, because the first half of the year, it's above, we had record births." I said, "That's not what I'm talking about. Look at the second half." And I explained it to him. That's due to the lockdowns, because we've had lockdown babies, you know. Sit 9 months after the lockdowns, you get more babies. And I said, "Look at the 6 months after, the last 6 months," and he didn't have an answer. And I said, "Look at December. No answer." That is just horrific. When you look at the increased deaths, because we've got a real, what's the word, all-cause mortality. Then I asked him questions about all-cause mortality. And the figures show, the graph shows all-cause mortality going up and down, just like normal with every year. It varies from year to year, but only by a little bit. It's within the range of variability until the vaccines start, the injections start. And then it goes way above the upper level, way above. So we've got increased deaths from the vaccines, and we've got dramatically reduced births from the vaccines. We've got problems.
And to put this into perspective, because you're talking about monthly figures, it varies to this and this, and it's currently dropped as low as that. If on average, and this is to keep my mental arithmetic simple, if you take 25K per month, that's 300,000 births a year, okay, on an average year. Okay, so that's 25 by 12, 300,000 babies that would be born into Australia every year. On an average year, okay? If you drop that down to the level that it exhibited there at one point, which was 6,000 a month, you know, you multiply that by 12 and you get 72K. That means 230,000 children are either not reaching the end of their gestation period in their mother's womb, the 9 months, or they're being born dead, or It's an infanticide, effectively, or it's a feticide in the mother's womb. That's what's effectively happening right now. The amount of stillbirths and the amount of miscarriages that are happening and the amount of children that are being born dead is going off the scale. And this is hundreds of thousands we're talking about. We're not talking about a blip in a certain area here. And it's not just Australia. This is happening all across the world, in addition to the all-cause mortality deaths that are happening among progressively younger people. They're getting people from both ends here, and they're effectively getting kids while they're even still in their mother's womb. I want to pause. We've got to
if they get to the womb, mate, because some people can't conceive now.
They correct, can't conceive, because they've been rendered infertile.
And stillbirth. You know, so
it's a demonic system of attack. In the initial stages, the vaccine was rolled out to, or the product I call it, was rolled out to the elderly and the infirm. That's who they went after to begin with. But now all bets are off, the gloves are off from their perspective, and everybody is fair game to receive this shot, even marketing it aggressively towards pregnant women. But listen, let's pause just for a minute. We've got to take a quick ad break, and then we'll look at this further. What's being done about it? You've highlighted it. Various other people have highlighted it. Movies are coming out about it now. Surely there's only so far you can brush this under the carpet. There's only so far this elephant can expand in the room without the room completely falling down around people's ears. So let's look at that possible scenarios, how this will be resolved when we come back after the news here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Matt Boylan here with the check of your TNT headlines. NATO's Secretary General has sparked outrage after insisting that stepping up weapons supplies to Ukraine is the only way to end the conflict. New York is threatening to withdraw state funding to schools that refuse to remove their Native American mascots, and Europe's largest nuclear power plant is reportedly at risk of a nuclear accident after coming under renewed fire by Ukrainian forces.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, so you've been highlighting this for some time now. You've been highlighting figures. Some people were questioning the figures. You're using the Australians' statistics, the official government statistics. So you're only working with what they've gave you to work for themselves. Nobody, they're not going to question their own figures.
Not only that, Rick, they're very well scrutinized because the Australian Bureau of Statistics checks the data from each state first, then adds them up and you get the Australian total. So they've been checked by the states. They've been checked by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. These are accurate figures.
You've called for a royal commission in this whole debacle that's been going on for the last few years, okay? There's been yourself, there's been Jared Rennick, George Christensen, a lot of good people have got together and pushed for a royal commission into this, okay? Since you've done that, which was months ago, months and months ago, I can remember you talking about it, might have been back in May, sometime around that time anyway, you had the initial sit-downs in Brisbane, I think it was, if my memory's not mistaken. That's when you got the ball rolling with this formally. Since then, all this stuff that we're talking about now has come out subsequently. So effectively, you would think it would bolster your argument and it would galvanize the points that you're making further and accelerate said Royal Commission, maybe that was a Freudian slip there. Yes, Royal Commission investigation into what's going on at the minute. Has things accelerated? Have they accelerated? Are you getting over the speed bumps or is it just a quagmire of red tape?
It's not a quagmire of red tape. And we are getting over some of the speed bumps. What would you call it? It's like walking through molasses or treacle. What it's like. And these bastards pretending there's no treacle there, but they're the ones putting the treacle down and they're making it thicker and thicker. You know, another senator, Alex Antic, he's one of four of us in the Senate who are trying to open things up. He moved a motion which we agreed with and we co-signed with him, Pauline and I, to get a copy of the contracts, the commercial contracts with the injection manufacturers. The Labor and the Liberal Party, which used to be the government, and the LN and the National Party, which used to be the coalition government when these contracts were signed, they supported it. They supported it, which stunned me because they didn't let us have it when it was in government. But the Labor Party, which is the current government, and the Greens, which is effectively their coalition partner, and I'll explain why later if you want, but they opposed it, and the vote was tied in the Senate. And so when you have a tied vote, the motion is lost. You have to have a majority of at least one. So Alex and our motion was defeated. The Labor Party and the Greens are holding up and hiding the contracts. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are still going, when it's, you know, who's at fault here? They point to everyone but themselves. Or they don't point at all. And that's the really worrying thing, Rick, because it'd be nice for them to point at someone else, then we could chase that person. But they don't point at anything. They just say, what's the problem? There's nothing, nothing going on. You know, where's your peer-reviewed paper? But Alex also showed us a graph, which we've seen in the all-cause mortality. He showed us a graph of people with heart problems in Adelaide, one of the Adelaide hospitals. It might have been South Australia, I think. And after the second shot, up went the heart problems admitted in hospital. Then it came down again. After the booster, up went the heart problems again. And we see the same figures, the same pattern in the all-cause mortality deaths. It's clear as dog's balls, we have a saying here. It's clear as dog's balls. But people just don't want to see. Today, Pauline Hanson introduced a bill into the parliament, and we started debating it about ending indoctrination and returning to education, right? Mm-hmm. The schools have been indoctrinating people. We had one of the Greens, Jordan Steele John, who's not a bad bloke. He was talking about how the discussion we were having was causing kids to suicide. The bastard that doesn't understand cause and effect. People are suiciding because they're being belted with the transgender bullshit. Now, I know that there are some people who are born in a different body. I get that. But the proportion is tiny, 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 tiny. It's minuscule. That doesn't mean we ignore them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we give them care, compassion, and help them.
Yeah.
When they are over 18 or over 21, correct, when they're adults, you don't start cutting dicks off and cutting balls off and doing all the rest of it when someone's young, like 8, 10, 12, and you look after them and you treat them. They're obviously most of them have got a mental health issue. They've got an issue that many kids have when they're growing up, especially in adolescence. You treat them with love and compassion, but you don't let them go and savage themselves by these lunatics who are peddling transgender bullshit. It's savage.
Let's talk about this, okay? Because this is something that's something that we've covered a lot on this show with different people from different angles. And I agree with you 100%. If you're an adult and you decide you want to be called Marianne Roberts from now on, and you want to wear a frilly dress and put makeup on, I have no problem with that. That's your business, as long as you're not hurting anybody, and if it makes you happy, then you just fill your boots. But when you have children involved, if a child can't buy cigarettes, if a child can't buy a lottery scratch card by law, if a child can't drive a car, if a child can't vote in an election, well then, damn it, a child certainly is in no position to determine at age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 years of age that they're actually gender this and gender that, and they need to have a double mastectomy, or they need to have a penectomy, or they need to be castrated, which are catastrophic events. It's bad enough. If you actually unpackage this, the evil from so many sources is unreal. You have parents that are actually nodding in agreement and allowing their children to receive these surgeries. You have so-called medical professionals whose the Hippocratic Oath first is thou shalt do no harm, look after people, do no harm. What are you going to do? What if you walk in to a doctor tomorrow? Say you go into a doctor tomorrow and you say, I identify as a Long John Silver, the pirate captain. I want you to cut off my leg and gouge out my eye. Do you know what they'll say? Mr. Roberts, I think maybe some psychiatric evaluation would be in order for you. You think you're a pirate and you want us to cut off your leg and cut out your eye. Isn't that right? You'd be referred for psychiatric evaluation. But when a kid comes in and says, excuse me, sir, I think I'm a girl, they say, well, okay, we can remove your penis, we can remove your testicles, we can give you estrogen, we can change your voice, we can screw you up from no age at all, no psychiatric evaluation, we have to accept it, we have to be accepting and tolerant of it. They're nothing more than butchers. And in my opinion, child abusers, if a doctor participates in this or perpetrates this nonsense in any way, shape, or form, they're a butcher and they're an abuser. That's my take on it.
I agree with you entirely. And I know you, and you're going to agree with what I'm saying. That doesn't mean we don't have compassion for the child.
Correct.
Because they're obviously
correct,
going through difficult times.
Yes.
But they've been fed crap at school.
Yes.
Crap at school saying that if you've got problems, it's because of you're truly transgender.
Yes.
Then the poor kid's confused, and they get that at 4 years of age. But think of some of these things. It's not just the scalpel. and cutting bits off people. It's also, mm-hmm. also the hormones, which change a body mm-hmm. at a critical time. And the whole brain is remyelinizing during mm-hmm. adolescence and reconfiguring. And so we're pumping hormones into them, and that's completely wrong as well. So even if you don't cut bits off people, the hormones themselves are giving them really life-altering circumstances. Then Rick, I don't know if you've got this in Ireland, but in Australia, in the state of Victoria, it is now illegal for a parent of a child or a doctor to say, well, son or well, daughter, you're just going through a difficult time. I'd like you to just think about it, and we'll chat about it. That is called effort. You've got to affirm the child's view. So what you've got to say to the child is, yes, Rick, we'll help you get it. We'll help you get your bits cut off. Or
unreal.
You cannot stop and think about it. And if a doctor, if you take your child in to see a doctor or a psychologist, and you dare question their belief mm-hmm. or their illusion, mm-hmm. you can go to jail.
This is
I can see it.
Genuinely, it's lunacy. It's lunacy, and it's the same as I said. Take an adult, or if they say, I want to be a cat, all right? I want you to implant whiskers into my face, and I want you to hamstring me so I can only crawl around on my hands and knees, and I want you to remove my vocal cords so I can only make purring noises, right? Would I not be abusing you as an individual by allowing that to happen and say, listen, Malcolm, we might need to sit and talk about this. Maybe you need some help. We love you. We care about you. We have compassion on you. So let's talk about this. Let's examine where this is all coming from. Instead of saying, okay, just you lie down there. I'll get my scalpel out. Let me just scrub up here and I'll start to work on your larynx. It doesn't work like that. That's evil and insane, but that's effectively what they're doing to our children right now. And that, my friend, is straight from the pits of hell itself. No other origin but the pits of hell.
Correct. You know, someone sent me a little cartoon. It's a bit like a Homer Simpson cartoon. I don't know if you can mm-hmm. see it.
Ever notice how dogs only come in male and female? Yep, cutting the balls off doesn't make it a female. That's true.
Yeah.
So you can label yourself. Listen, if you say I'm Malcolm Roberts and I'm a bus, that's fine. If you think you're a bus, that's fine. But you don't have windows, you don't have a conductor, and you don't have any passengers on board. But I'll say that Malcolm guy's a nice dude, but he thinks he's a bus. So, you know, go easy on him. All right. If I put a window, if I cut a piece of your forehead out and stick a little piece of glass in there, and you say that's my windscreen, it's not Malcolm. It's a piece of glass stuck in your face. All right, it's not a windscreen. It's the same principle, but all reality and all rational thought seems to have been swept to the side when it comes to this particularly destructive ideology.
So how is Jordan Steelejohn, Senator Jordan Steelejohn? He's a young man. He's saying that talking about these things mm-hmm. is encouraging people to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
Correct.
Talking about them properly and respectfully doesn't mean you're anti-transgender people. Mm-hmm. It means you're pro-human, pro-child. Mm-hmm. Those Correct. Who want to be transgender at the moment and those who don't, it doesn't matter. You've got to talk things through and use love. Not indoctrination. You know, Rick, it staggers me every day, and you can see how they've come up with this climate scam. But we hear stories from the Greens and the Labor Party. Wind power is cheaper than coal. Complete rubbish. Solar panels, electricity is cheaper than coal. Complete rubbish. Then they say electric vehicles are all the go. We need to subsidize electric vehicles. And you get all kinds of distortions, and electric vehicles don't have to pay for road maintenance. All kinds of freebies, and they're still not getting picked up because the facts are completely opposite of what we're being told. But what I'm saying is that people don't follow the facts. They follow the story that the spearhead is pushing out, which is the Greens. And the Greens are only putting out what the UN is pushing. The Greens are the foot soldiers for the UN. The UN is anti-human. The World Economic Forum is anti-human. We're dealing with something that's really evil, really sinister, and it's anti-human. That's what we're dealing with.
It is. And do you know what we're going to do? We've got to take a quick ad break. When we come back, let's look at to round it up, because we've covered quite a lot of ground here, which is great. Some stuff would have been good to go into more detail, but time is our enemy here. But when we wrap this next segment up, the last 10 minutes or so, let's look at the potential hammer blow that will be delivered to mankind in the shape of, you know, pushing net zero targets and zero carbon targets. People think it's a good thing and it's going to help preserve the world for future generations. No, it will accelerate our demise, people, and we need to be aware of that. So let's go into some details about that when we get back from this ad break with Senator Malcolm Roberts here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
If you've been listening here on TNT over the past couple of months, we've been warning you about the threat of an early winter. In fact, it's raining a lot in the UK, and I've always noticed that heavy rains during the month of November usually mean December is going to be very, very cold. That in turn correlates with what we were talking about at the end of the summer about how it looked to me like the big three, the Far East, the US, and Europe were going to get very, very cold. Now, I got to give Joe Biden credit for one thing. He's made weather great again. Back in the heyday of weather in 2005, 2006, where prices were up real high because of hurricanes, well, people needed weather forecasts. Well, they need them now because prices are real, real high. And there is no excuse for this. There is no excuse for what has happened here. It is a phony climate war with insane energy policies. And guess what? Some of the stuff we were talking about, how cold it was going to get, that's where my value is. It looks like it's going to be happening over the next few weeks. This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi, TNT's climate and weather watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Why listen to TNT Radio? Because friends don't let friends listen to mainstream media.
Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
All right, you put a post up yesterday on Twitter that made me chuckle last night. Actually, I read it just before I went to bed, but it said, "I remember when greenies hugged trees. Now greenies chop down trees and hug manufactured wind turbines made of concrete, steel, fiberglass, and gearbox oil. 40 million tons of wind turbine blades are destined for landfill by 2050. Let me ask you this, all right? Whenever you started amongst a few other people to raise concerns and raise your voices against the mandating of these mRNA gene therapy shots that were being thrust upon the people of Australia, unwillingly in many cases, you know, the people tried to shut you up and shoot you down. Okay, now we have this next phase of human destruction potentially at the hands of globalists. That's their plan. It's not our plan, but it's their plan. And it absolutely will involve this whole business of climate. There was a Project Veritas last year famously stung a CNN news producer in a bar. They asked him how long COVID the narrative would go on for. He said, it'll be dead by around next year, Christmas, which is this Christmas. And they said, well, what happens after that? They said, well, after that, we're going to be pushing hard in the whole climate thing. It's all going to be climate, 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 climate. And you can see them moving into that phase right now. Okay, so you're talking against it and have done for a very long time. And you make very good points. Is there a chance? I think it's unlikely that there will be a debate, you versus Mr. Green, on a public forum or on a national TV to say, okay, Malcolm, we think you're crazy. The world's on its way out. And you're saying, well, actually, it's not. We have enough uranium under our feet to, I think you said this, I've quoted you saying this, so I hope you did say it. You said, we have enough uranium under our feet to power Australia until the sun itself explodes. You know, we've more than enough coking coal. We've plenty of resources to keep us going. The problem is not hydrocarbons, etc. The problem is the green agenda. Is that a fair point?
It is correct. And, you know, the agenda is not a green agenda. It's an anti-human agenda. Uh-huh. The Greens are just wrapping it up as an environmental thing because here's the go. When you look at An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore, he was starting off by using very much emotional scenes and his sister getting died of lung cancer or whatever it was and, you know, all this kind of stuff. He was raised on a tobacco farm. Uh-huh. His family made a living out of tobacco farm and oil companies. And here he is going against oil companies. He didn't tell us that he was one of the he was a 50% owner of Generation Investment Management, which was involved with the Chicago Climate Exchange to make billions of dollars out of carbon dioxide trading. So they don't tell you those kinds of things, but that's what Al Gore's doing. Al Gore is a crook. The man who started this global warming, he's dead now. The climate change bullshit was Maurice Strong. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, you've talked about him in not very Maurice flattering Strong. Terms on the show before, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's responsible for the deaths of 40 to 50 million people by banning DDT, which killed malaria insect, malaria mosquito. Now, if they hadn't banned DDT, which he pushed the banning of, they would have had another 40 to 50 million lives saved. I mean, this is the kind of people we're looking at. Hitler killed 20 million. Stalin killed 30 million. Maurice Strong killed 40 to 50 million. Mao Zedong from China killed 60 million. Maurice Strong, who was at the senior levels of the UN and controlled this climate, gave birth to the climate scam. He's the man who's second on the list of all-time killers in the world. So what we've got is an anti-human agenda. They are not trying to get us to drive electric cars. Electric cars will never, ever be competitive price-wise because of the huge consumption of resources. They don't use petrol and diesel, but they consume a lot of hydrocarbon fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, and minerals in their construction and manufacturing. That's why they are always so damn high in price, because they're resource hogs. And then you've got they're not after us changing cars, Rick. They're after us having no cars because they'll try to ban diesel and petrol and then have only electric, but you won't be able to afford it. Neither will I. They don't want us to have different energy from solar and wind rather than coal. They want us to have controlled energy. They're already testing meters in this country to restrict people's supply, turn on when they can and can't do things. If you control energy, if you control food, if you control water, if you control mobility, if you control
currency,
you've got it. You've got the whole thing. So let me ask you a question. What is the best friend of the forest in the last 200 years? What's proven to be the best friend of the forest? And what's proven to be the best friend of whales?
The forest?
Yep.
You always ask me a question. 1850s
odd. We used to, our ancestors chopped down trees for heating and for cooking. Yeah. 1850s, our ancestors killed whales to get whale oil, the fat out of whales, for lighting. Along came coal. And what happened? Well, we stopped chopping down trees for food, for heating and cooking. We stopped killing whales for whale oil. We had electric light. We could turn it on any time we wanted. And not only that, over the last 170 years, the price of electricity until about 1990 was relentlessly decreasing. The price of fuel was relentlessly decreasing. Even after the oil shock of 73 and 79, the real price, if you adjust for inflation, of oil was cheaper than ever. Cheaper than ever, despite all the taxes they put on it. And yet in the last three decades, we have reversed that relentless decrease in the price of energy, and we've doubled it, in our case, tripled it, not with anything nature's done, but with artificial restrictions that politicians have done by telling lies. And so what we've done is we've reversed the guts of human progress, which is relentless decreases in energy. Because when you decrease the price of energy, you increase the productivity of whatever's using that energy. When you increase the productivity, you produce more with less, which means people become wealthier. And sure, a millionaire who owns a power station would get even richer, but everyone else gets richer because the price of electricity is cheaper. What they've done is they've deliberately reversed that. They've deliberately reversed human progress. They are anti-human. They kill humans. They don't care about humans, and they want us to live in misery under their control. That's anti-human, and the Greens are the foot soldiers of the anti-human movement.
They are. And you know what? A lot of people that bought into their rhetoric are going to get a shock. I don't know if you know this or not, but in our last autumn budget there that was unveiled or unleashed last week, Jeremy Hunt has reversed the zero taxation, road taxation for electric vehicles from 2025. So from 2025, you will not only have to pay road tax for a vehicle that you bought thinking you would never pay road tax on, but it will also attract a special tax called the Tesla tax. So an EV user in the UK thinking they were on a zero cost running of the vehicle, in addition to whatever they're paying in electricity and financing payments, are going to be £600 or what, $1,200 a year worse off as a result of taxation that will be applied to EVs. Shockers are on the way. Spoiler alert, don't buy the green BS, because if you do, you'll find it's brown. The greens are actually should be called the browns, if you know what I mean. But anyway, I don't want to get too crude here. Okay, so we're almost up to time, and I don't want this to get cut off by the news. So just to let you know, Malcolm Roberts, you can check him out on Twitter at mrobertsqld on Twitter, and also check out his webpage, malcolmrobertsqld.com.au. Thank you very much, sir. It's been a blast as usual. It's been too long. Let's hopefully it won't be as long before we get talking again next time. And all the best. Keep fighting the good fight. Don't quit. Keep your chin up. Keep your shoulders back. Keep doing damage as you are. And big love to all you guys over there in Australia, Senator Malcolm Roberts. I'm Rick Munn. Jeff, thank you in the studio. Listeners, thank you. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the same on Locked and Loaded here on TNT Radio.